to have a Christian home. If you have one, you ought to be thankful that you have one. If you don't have one, you need one. And you can start with that today. There are some here today, I know, that you wasn't raised in a Christian home, but you're Christians, so you know what was missing in yours, and you know how to make yours what it ought to be. I'm thankful that I had a Christian daddy and a Christian mama. I'm glad that I did not have the past that they had, that they seemed fit to keep me from things. You know, I wasn't allowed to be a part of things. And it wasn't for my hurt, it was for my help. And so I have no complaints with the way I was raised. I am thankful for my Christian home. That's good. All right. Well, we told you we'd be preaching on the home for the next several weeks. And can I explain some things this morning? We've been teaching on Ephesians through the book of Ephesians on Wednesday night. And seeing our position in Christ and our place and how great the Lord is. And then we started coming down to what we're supposed to be, of what we're expected of us, how we're to live, and the strength that we are supposed to have that we don't seem to have. So I've been praying, asking God, where is the problem? It's not the Word of God. Can I tell you this morning, there is no problem with the Word of God. The Word of God is perfect in every way. It is God's Word. It is God's holy Word. And can I say there's nothing wrong with the church? The church is what God made. God started the church upon Him. He's the foundation of the church. Now, we're not talking about this congregation. We're talking about the church, the body of Christ, okay? And every born-again believer is part of that body. Every born-again believer is part of the church, the bride, the body of Christ. But yet, there's still issues. We look at our country and our city and we see, why is it like it is? Why is it like it is? It looks like, there's churches on every corner. There's congregations meeting. I don't know how many's meeting in town today. 9, 11, something like that. Different congregations meeting in town today. But we live in a hellish town. Our town's going to hell. We live in a drunken town. Can I just say that on YouTube and Facebook and everybody else can hear it? We live in a drunken town. All right? But there's 11 congregations meeting this morning. Why would that be? Ain't nothing wrong with Christ. Ain't nobody like the Lord. He's great and marvelous in every way, ain't he? But there's yet a problem. So I wonder where the problem will be. It must be in the heart of man. Must be down at the house. Problem must be down at the house. Since it ain't in the church and it ain't in the city and ain't the country called the problem. Must be the problem down at the house. Down in the heart of the home. Down where we are. I think that's maybe where we're having issues. It's because our heart is not where it's supposed to be. We told you last week about the, and we'll probably tell you again every week for the next few weeks, about the preacher. He had a crack in his drywall. And he called a painter to come and look at it. The fellow repaired drywall. He came and looked at it and said, I'll fix it. And he repaired it, repainted it, looked great. A week later or a month later, the crack reappeared. So he was aggravated. He called the painter back. The painter came back and looked at it and said, I'm sorry. I'll fix it, no charge. So he repaired it again, repainted it, looked good. 40 days after that, the crack came back. Well, he wasn't calling that feller back no more. I wasn't either, would y'all? I wouldn't call him up. So he called a different professional, one that was supposed to be the best in town. And he looked at, come in, looked at it, and he stood there and looked and looked and looked. He said, well, what do you think? He said, I can't fix it. What do you mean you can't fix it? Supposed to be the best. He said, no, I can't fix it. He said, well, can you tell me why? He said, well, because that ain't your problem. I can't fix your problem. Your problem ain't your drywall, the crack in your drywall. The problem's in your foundation. See, that's what's wrong today. We're fighting problems that we can't fix, that we patch up. But that's not the issue. The issue's with the foundation. The issue's with the foundation. Now, we can keep putting putty on stuff and painting it over and go, ooh and ah, don't that look nice? But it don't last. That's why the power in the church don't last. That's why the testimony in the town don't last. It's because the foundation down at the house needs worked on. So that's why the last couple messages, and that's why the next four or five will be on working on the foundation. And we'll see if we can't repair the foundation. To do that, we got to go back to the beginning. Ain't that where you need to go? We need to go back to the beginning. If you're going to work on your foundation, you got to go to the bottom of things, down where the house started. And we'll see what we can find. Now, this is going to be Mother's Day, Father's Day today. Was last week, was the week before. It'll be Mother's and Father's Day next Sunday. And it'll be Mother and Father's Day the next Sunday. Right on through till Father's Day anyway. And unless we run out of scripture. If we run out of scripture, we'll quit. Everybody all right? Just want to encourage you. So this morning, you don't need to be here this morning. To be here next Sunday is when you need to be here. That's what Rick tells us. Now, I want you to listen this morning. We're trying to get us some help. See, we've had revival. And we had a great revival. We had a great preacher come, had a great revival, great help. But we done fizzled out. We done fizzled out. We had a great harvest week last year. I had a great time with Eddie White. And we done fizzled out. Had a great youth camp. 43 saved last year in youth camp. But we done fizzled out. So we keep patching, putting that putty on the drywall, and it ain't helping. So let's go back to where we need to find out about the heart of the home. How about that? Father, we come asking for your help this morning, speaking to every heart, not just here in the sanctuary, but to those who are listening by computer and by those who will go back and listen on the webpage, those who will tune in, maybe that's downstairs that won't get to hear it today, they'll go back and listen to it. God, help us not just to hear it, but help us to listen. And we're going to thank you and praise you. Cleanse my mind, my heart, because, Lord, I know I'm a failure in so many ways. And, Lord, help me to do better. And, Lord, I think we can all say we can do better. But, Lord, that changes this morning, I pray. Touch me fresh of wisdom, of strength, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Power, oh God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at some scripture just for a moment. And we'll start it back in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Very familiar verses. Probably at one time it was in at most every home when home interior was so famous. And we had all the little plaques and whatnots and things that was on the walls and on the little signs above the dining table and the living room and everywhere. And the scripture says in Joshua 24 verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. I want to stop right there and let you know that all that I will give you today, last Sunday, Sunday before, and then the Sundays to come, all I will give you will be truth from the Word of God, but you're going to have to choose whether or not you take it. You'll have to choose whether or not you take the help and apply. You'll hear it. You may even remember some of it, but until you choose to change. All right? Now, we're not giving you a thought that you might need to change. We need to choose to change because we need a change. All right? Joshua said, "And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Psalms 127 verse 1 simply says this: "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." We got to have the Lord. We can't do it by ourselves. We've got to have the Lord. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is preaching. He's done told them about the two ways, the straight gate and the broad gate. He done told them that there's going to be many. They told them about the two trees, one that brought fruit, one that wouldn't bring fruit. Then he told them about the many that will cry out in the last days, that will cry out and say, "Lord, Lord, have we not done many things in thy name?" And he said, "I never knew you." They was religious but lost. And now he says this in Matthew 7:24. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine." Now we're going to hear this morning. But here's the catch. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Yeah. We need to do more than hear, we need to do. Now, as I was studying, as I said, about the church and our place in the church there in Ephesians, and trying to prepare lessons ahead, then there's a word that come up in my study, and then the word was covenant. And when I looked up that word, I said, it's not just for a church. It used to be in a church house, and I went to revival one night there with Marcus, and there on the wall was a church covenant. Having been led as we believe, that's how it starts out. Having been led as we believe. And it tells us about the conduct of a church member. And it's coming, but I started through the scripture about what a covenant was and reading about the promises of God and the binding agreement that a covenant is. And this is what led us to this verse for our text. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 14. Malachi 2, chapter 4. Is everybody still with me this morning?
Yes.
Don't turn me off now because we're going to have something in the next few Sundays. Don't turn me off. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant." I got to looking about a covenant and what a relationship is between a husband and a wife, between a man and a woman. And this covenant is a very important word. It's very important. And a covenant is an ordered relationship. It's ordered. A relationship between God and man. All right? An ordered relationship between God and man. A binding agreement outlining specific duties, emphasizing loyalty and mutual obligation. That's what a covenant is. Now, a covenant, if you go back and if you study your Bible and read your Bible, there's promises that God made with God and man, and it's called the covenant with Noah, if you would. And he promised never to destroy the earth again with water. He had a covenant with Noah. Well, he's kept that promise. He always will. But God is the one that orchestrated that covenant. There's a covenant with Abraham. He called him out as a people, became the first Jew, if you would, a Gentile that turned to be the first Jew and his descendants, that he would bless them, and those that would bless him, he would bless. Those that would curse him, he would curse and bless him. And you know, the land that was given, that's still true today. God will hold to his word. And then there's a new covenant. We had the Old Testament, the old law, if you would, that showed us we was a sinner. And then a new covenant of the blood of Christ showing us that we have freedom because of Christ. Can I tell you, his promises are true there. Whosoever will can come. Be washed in the blood. Be saved. No matter who you are, where you're from, you can trust Christ today. We have new things. But there's a covenant with the home. That God started. God started the home. God started the home. Last week, real quick, last week we looked at how the home was started, and it was, of course, God authorized the home, but it was God reflecting. It was made that we might reflect God. The home was made that we might reflect the Lord Himself. And then we looked at where God said to replicate the home. And we have father and mother and children, and we teach our children to be the same kind of father and mother that we're supposed to be, reflecting on what the Lord Jesus is, what God is. And then we looked at a little bit about God's rule, or should I say, how we are to rule over the earth, and he give authority to some things. Now I want to pick up on this covenant. Is everybody still with me? Talk to me if you're with me. Yeah. It was going to seem like it's going to be a Father's Day message instead of a Mother's Day message. So all you ladies are going to have ample places to holler, amen, hallelujah, go get him, preacher. All right, you're going to have ample ammunition this morning. All right, because we're going to look at the man. We're going to look, because so go the home. So go the heart, so go the home. So go the home, so go the church. So go the church, so go the city. So go the city, so go our country. And we better make sure things is right down at the house. Don't you think? So let's just look at that. Now, we go back to Genesis, if you would. That's where we'll have to start. And we're going to have to see how things was. To get started here just for a minute, we want to think about the responsibility of man. The responsibility of man in a home, not the responsibility of husband and wife. We're going to deal with the man this morning mainly. We're going to deal with the husband. We're going to deal with the daddy. We're going to deal with who's supposed to be the head. We're going to deal with where the responsibility lies. Do you know when God addressed like Abraham and all through the Old Testament, you know, he said it like he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is that how he addressed himself? He never did say, I'm the God of Sarah, Rebecca. Did he? He didn't say that. He said he was the God. And why did he put the man in? Because the man is supposed to be the head. The man's supposed to be the authority. The man's supposed to be the leader. Okay? Two of you agree. All right? Let's look in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I'm sorry. No, that's right. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 27. Verse 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. So we see some orders there in order that God made everything. God made the man, God made the woman, told him to go multiply. And that constitutes a home there. That constitutes a family. That constitutes some duty. All right, and we see that. But we go over to chapter 2, then at chapter 1 give us an overview that God created man and woman. And then he gives them more detail in chapter 2. I want us to look at a couple of things. Verse 7 in chapter 2 of Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Woman wasn't there yet. It was just God and man. And we're not going to tell no jokes about that because we're not joking this morning. But it is true that man was alone there with God. Now I want you to look in verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now I want to call your attention to something. Now, I'm not being far-fetched, taking anything out of context. We're looking at a truth here. It says, and the Lord God said. The Lord God spoke to man. The Lord God spoke to man. So man was supposed to listen to the Lord God. Can we agree to that? Talk to me this morning. But what he told man was not to go eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because he would have his own opinion when he did. And God don't want us to listen to our own opinion or to reason. He wants us to listen to his revelation, which is this book. This book is his revelation. Are you understanding me? So it was God and man. Woman wasn't there. Everybody follow me? It was God and man. And we're to listen to men. We're supposed to listen and be led of the voice of the Lord. And we get that from the Word of God. That is our responsibility. That's our responsibility. And we're going to see some things in just a moment. It gets deeper than that, all right? The leader in the home is the man in every way. In every way. So we're going to start now with the purpose of man. Now, the purpose of man, it starts out with, it says that he was supposed to take care of the garden. He's the work. All right? Men are supposed to work.
Amen.
Men are supposed to work.
Amen.
All right? And you are to work and provide for your family. But you're supposed to work. All right? Now, we don't need to hammer on that. That's just the way it is. Men are supposed to work. All right? And they're supposed to, he's told here to dress the garden and keep the garden. Is that what it says? Then he was given another chore. He was given a chore to name all the animals. I want everybody to understand how intelligent a man is. Now, the women may not think that. But ladies, you are so fortunate if you got a husband. If you've got a man in your life, because they are super intelligent. I'm not joking. Adam never went to school, never read a book, never saw an encyclopedia, didn't have Google, right? And God brought him every animal, and he named them. Now, where did he get his vocabulary? I mentioned this before. Who would come up with the word hippopotamus? But an intelligent man. Huh? Is that all right? Listen, I'm dead serious. Look how intelligent he was. I mean, why would he pick up a lizard and say, orange salamander? Right? Now, is that not what he did? It says that every creeping thing, every foul thing, everything was brought to Adam and he named it. That's what the scripture says. Now, is that smart or what? Without the woman. He was smart already without the woman. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Yeah. Ladies, give your husband permission to speak. Huh? But he named everything. Look how intelligent he was. You know why he was intelligent? Because man was talking to God and God was talking to man. And any man that'll be willing to be led of God and the revelation of God will be an intelligent, smart man. And if you don't, you're dumb as a rock.
Amen.
All right? Everybody all right with that? If you don't listen to God, you're dumb as a rock. Because God fixed it to where it was going to be you, me and him, guys, you and him. And then he put him to sleep. Took out the best part. Huh? Made him a woman. Is that all right? Ladies, y'all okay with that? The best part. Huh? Made him a woman. And he brought her to Adam and Adam named her. That's what the scripture says. Look in verse 21, Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep. There's so many places for sarcasm here, and we're not going to do it. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. And brought her to the man as a gift. Because there was nothing for Adam. Had all the animals named them all, looked it all over, looked at the monkey and the baboon, the chimpanzee and the gorilla, looked at all of them, looked at the dogs and the cats and the deer and the squirrels, and they wasn't nothing for him, so he made him a woman just especially for him. And can I tell you guys, if you got you a woman, you got the best thing ever made. Huh? Are you hearing me? Hey guys, look at me. If you got a woman, you got the best thing that was ever made. Huh? Huh? He made us out of dirt. God made us out of a handful of dirt. But not a woman. Huh? There's a big difference in a man and a woman. Huh? Right? Now, all women are beautiful. Some are more beautiful than others. Alright? But all men are ugly. We can't fix our looks. Makeup don't help us. Alright? Our 3 o'clock shadow comes through all the powder we put on our face. All right? Everybody understand? We can put all the eyeshadow on we want, lipstick, and we're still ugly guys. But a woman's beautiful. Ain't that right, ladies? Huh? Y'all beautiful. Y'all ain't just anybody. Y'all something that God made for us. Now I want you to be clear on something. God didn't put them together then that they would become one and forget what the woman was. I've learned something in this. Anytime I do another wedding and they want to do a unity candle, I'll gladly do the unity candle, but we're not blowing their candle out because that won't be scriptural. They'll become one, but they're still two individuals. And the reason that God made a woman for Adam because there were some things he needed. And he got it when he got him a woman. And them two identities working together for one cause. See, this is where we're running into problems. Everybody, instead of wanting to be two people working together for one cause to glorify God, we got a man wanting to do his thing and then a woman wanting to do their thing when they ought to be together doing God's thing. Amen. We okay with that?
Yeah.
So let's continue on. We all right? Everybody follow me. Alright? So we see the purpose of man, to work and dress the garden, to name them, then name the woman. Alright? But then it gets deeper than that. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. Everybody still okay now? 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. Let's start at verse 1. It says, be ye followers of me. This is Paul speaking, an apostle. Even as I also am of Christ. So we're supposed to follow Christ with the same aptitude, with the same zeal, with the same desire to glorify God that the apostle Paul had. We all are supposed to follow the Lord the same way. You know what it says? Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, verse 2, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to. That's the Bible. That's the scripture. That's the revelation of God. But look at verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. That's God's order.
Yeah,
listen to me now. The head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. There is an order. That order comes, the covenant is an ordered relationship. Everybody following? What I tell you, a covenant was between a man and a woman. It's between God, man, and woman, an ordered relationship that man follows Christ and then the woman follows the man. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Man the head of woman. God's the head of Christ. Man's the leader of the home. All right, as God leads the man. Men, you're supposed to be leading your home. All right? Can I tell you where you're supposed to be leading your home? You're supposed to be, men, look at me now. You're the one that is responsible. You are the responsible person in the home. You are. Now listen to me now. You, not the wife, have the responsibility to lead with your Bible study?
Yes.
You, not your wife, are responsible for leading your home in prayer? You, not your wife, are responsible for leading your home in church attendance and fellowship with the saints? You. Are the one that's supposed to be leading your family in faith. To have faith in God. They are to follow you. You know why? Because God ordained the home. And he authorized the man to follow the revelation of the scripture. Are y'all hearing me?
Amen.
And it's the man's responsibility. You're supposed to be the one. If nobody goes to church, the church ought to be full of the men.
That's right.
If nobody reads their Bible, every man ought to be a student of the scripture.
Yeah, right.
If nobody prays, the man ought to be the prayer warrior of the home. If there's no one that has faith in God, the man is supposed to have faith in God.
Amen.
Go through the scripture. If we do a ratio, how many men are mentioned having great faith in God compared to how many women is wrote down? There was great faith in women. There was. But the prophets and the preachers and the apostles and the men of God that done miraculous works were men that done it. Who was the leaders? The men were. They was women that done things. And I'm not taking nothing away from women. We'll get there maybe on Father's Day. But we're talking about the men. We're talking about the responsibility, the purpose of man. Are you listening to me? Talking about the foundation of the home, what God has done, what God has laid out, what God has made. Can I tell you, the reason we're having issues is because the men are not where they're supposed to be. Let's continue. I can see that's a dud right there. So we'll have to dig deeper into Scripture. Huh? So let's go to not only the purpose of man, how about the priority of man? Huh? Are we still okay? The priority of man is back to Genesis chapter 2. Let's look at verse 23. And Adam said, this is now, speaking of Eve, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Woman. What it says. Cheryl teases me. I'll tease her. I'll say, hey, woman. Hey, woman. She said, now that ain't nice. I said, that's what the scripture said. Hey, woman. Now, I understand that I was being very sarcastic when I say that, but I just done like y'all do. I said, well, that's what the Bible said. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, the priority of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The priority of man then becomes the wife, not himself. The purpose of man really is just to bring glory to God and to accept the revelation of God and to walk as God has said. But then that's his purpose, to work for God, to serve God. The priority of man is to put his wife up here. The wife ain't trash. Amen. Wife ain't to be talked down to and mistreated and abused. Yes. Belittled. Amen. Huh? Wife is to be a companion, a helpmeet, to walk together. It would probably help if men would listen to the heart of the women at times. We still okay? This is where we see the wife comes. She changes her name. If you go back over and read in Genesis 5, it'll say it, and they called their name Adam. It is scriptural to change your name. You know? In fact, I won't marry somebody who won't change your name. I was asked that one time. I'm going to keep my name. Well, don't find somebody else to marry you then. We still okay? Sure. Now we're talking about this priority now. Man's responsibility. Don't forget this. Responsibility of man. The purpose of man. The priority of man. Man's responsibility is God first. We know that. But the wife then becomes a priority because God is first. Why? God didn't make the church till after he made the home. God never made children first, then a wife.
You're right.
There's problem when we get out of order. You get the covenant out of order and God don't bless it.
You're right.
Okay? We get messed up. Then we got to backpedal all of our life. Talk to me now. I'm not condemning nobody. I'm just telling us. We got to go back and see about the foundation of where we're at, what we're supposed to be. I'm trying to help us this morning. Not downing nobody. I'm trying to get back to see why my wall's cracking. My wall's cracking. Look at me. Is your wall not got cracks in it? Look at your life. Is your wall not got cracks in it? It ain't the drywall. It's a foundation. It's a foundation. To show you the way the home was made, just like he said, let us make man in our image, and he made man a trinity, just like God is, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then he made a home with father, mother, children. He made that family like that the same way, and all everything in order. Christ, or man, come out of God, out of nothing. God made him out of nothing. Woman come out of man. Children come out of the mother. We're all connected. That makes sense to anybody? We're all connected.
Yeah.
Huh? And then later on we'll get to the church while we're all connected. A one body. We'll get to that later on. Everybody still with me? I'm wanting to show you the priority of man. Can we look in John 17? And we'll try to hurry here. So I got to finish this morning. John 17. Look at verse 1. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son. Speaking of the cross. Speaking of what death he would die. And then look what it says. That thy Son also may what? Glorify thee. Keep that in your mind. Drop down to verse 4. Jesus speaking now. I have glorified thee. Speaking to his Father. He's praying to his Father. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Alright? Now we're going to compare man to the Son here. And we're going to look at who gives glory to. As the Son gave the Father glory, us men are supposed to be serving and working to bring God the glory. That's what we're supposed to do. Everybody follow me? Does that make sense to anybody? We're looking at comparisons here. All right? Now, let's look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And let's look at verse 12. It says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, the Holy Spirit is a good type of the woman in the home. Okay? Good type of the servant, the quiet servant. The scripture talks about having a meek and quiet spirit, 1 Peter chapter 3. And look what the Holy Spirit was going to do. He will guide you in all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Can I tell you that as the husband or the man is supposed to glorify the Lord, the wife is made to glorify the husband. We okay?
Yeah.
We're looking back. Now we'll know more next Sunday. All right. We'll know more next Sunday when we see some of the terms of the covenant. We okay? Talk to me now. Right. Then when that's an order, the man's priority is the woman. The woman's priority is the husband. I want all you mothers, this is Mother's Day, and I want you to listen. Your priority ain't your child.
Right. You're right.
Everybody look at me now. Your priority is your husband. I'm going to say that again because I want to make sure you understand it. The husband's priority is the wife. The wife's priority is the husband, not the children. Are they important? Absolutely. Are you responsible? Absolutely. But not your priority. We're talking about order. Well, I don't believe that. Well, that's why we got a problem. That's exactly why we got a problem. Because we're out of order. That's why the foundation. Go ahead and patch the drywall again. Go ahead and patch it. It's going to keep costing you. And you're always going to have cracked brow wall. But when husbands have the wife as priority, not friends, not buddies. And when the wife has the husband priorities, not kids, not the house, not the dog, but the husband, then things will start shaping up a little better. When you court, you hold hands. How many here courted and held hands when they courted? Raise your hand if you held hands when you courted. Oh, don't be ashamed of it. My goodness, you're married to them now. Hold your hand up. Hold it up. Listen, I still hold hands with my wife.
Right.
You know why you held their held hands? Because they was priority.
Yeah.
Always told Cheryl, I'm going to hold your hand. And not just to hold it because I like to hold and touch her, but I keep somebody else from holding it. You know, because she was my priority. Huh? I'm not ashamed today. We go walking, we hold hands. We'll hold hands from the car to the house. From the house to the car. Out in town. I always walk on the outside of the sidewalk, facing the traffic, put her up against the wall.
Amen.
She never opens the door for herself.
Good.
Never. Good. Not unless she's by herself. Now some of you guys, I know. Man, just hurry up. Say amen. We got to go. That's why your drywall's cracked.
Amen.
If you make your wife a priority, then they won't be a third party slip in.
That's right.
You make your husband a priority, they won't be no third party slip
amen.
In. We say, well, it happened. I know it happens, and it has happened, and I hate it happen. And you can't go back and fix it. You can forgive, but there's you can't go reconcile things. I understand that. So move on and do what you got now and do right now.
Amen.
Ain't none of us can go back and fix the past.
Right.
But we can sure start today and fix the future.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. Is everybody okay? Yeah. Does everybody understand what I'm telling you? Let's go back to John 12. John 12, look at verse 28. It says, Father, glorify thy name. Rick read it this morning. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Can I tell you that the Father will glorify the Son? We okay? Everybody understand that? The Father will glorify. Let's look in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Hang with me now. We see the Son glorifying the Father. Is everybody with me?
Yep.
Seeing the Holy Spirit glorifying the Son. Everybody with me? See the Father glorifying the Son.
Yep.
Is everybody still with me?
Yep.
Now we see the Father or the husband glorifying the wife. The wife glorifying the husband. And the man glorifying God and doing this. Listen to what the man is supposed to do. The priority. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 38. It said, For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Guys, we got to get back to where we do the will of him that sent us, that made us, the Father. We got a responsibility. That gal beside you is important. You got to lead her right. That wife beside you is a treasure. Is a treasure. You better take care of her. You better back her up. You better be there. She's your priority. And you're not going to glorify him if you don't prioritize your wife. Because Jesus said, I come to do the work that you sent me to do. Well, what did he do? What work did he give the husband to do? To take care of everything. Are we still okay? I'll tell you now. Let's look now. Hang with me now. We're about done. Everybody okay? So we see the purpose of man, the priority of man. Well, let's hurry up and find the problem of man. We okay, guys? Let's find our problem. All right? The problem came when Satan hated to see the home go good. Now, I want you to read your Bibles, not do it all right now. I want you to go back. I want you to read chapter 1 of Genesis, and you'll find that it says, and God, and God, and God. And God said, God did, God said. But then in chapter 2, after verse 4, it changes. It says, the Lord God. Because that Lord God took him from creator to be a relationship God. Are you following me? And the Lord God is the one that directed Adam because of relationship. Are we still following what I'm trying to teach you this morning? All right? I'm not trying to get too deep, but I want you to see the absence of something. Look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which what? The Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, the devil speaking, to Satan is in this serpent here, said, and he said unto the woman, yea, and look what he said, hath God said. He didn't say Lord God. You know why? It started right there that he was there to break our relationship with God. And he don't mind us being religious as long as he ain't our Lord. Long as God ain't boss, he don't care if we go to church or not. There's a lot of men that'll go to church and they're just there to keep a woman from nagging at them. They're just there so they won't be an embarrassment to their kids because their hearts are easily broken by the little girl who said, Daddy, will you come to church with me? And you can't hardly say no, but you don't have it in your own heart. And the heart of the home is going to have to be fixed this morning. Okay? But here's what happened. The problem is there was a role reversal. Satan didn't come to the man. You know why Satan didn't come to the man? Because man's the leader. You know why Satan talked to you, the ladies? The same reason he did today. Because you're a follower. You're made to be a follower. You're not made to be the leader. He didn't go to Adam because Adam would have stopped him in his tracks. So he went to the woman, who the Bible teaches is a weaker vessel, who is a follower. She was made to follow. Now guys, that is y'all's opportunity. Say amen. Now this is Bible this morning. Okay? But there was a role reversal because of man's weakness. Sin came because of man's weakness. Trouble came because of man's weakness. Huh? There's been an attack ever since. Satan attacked Eve to get to the man. So what do they do now? Satan attacks. Now listen to me now. I'm going to tell you some things and you need to listen to me. He attacks the position of man. Huh? Satan attacks the position of man to try to get the man out of the home. That's how come you've got gay marriages. Because he's trying to get the man out of the home. And God does not sanction nor ordain nor approve a gay marriage. It's sin and abomination to God. Alright? But he's trying to get man out of his position. Alright? Out of the home. He's out to destroy man's masculinity. We live now to where men are, they try to make men soft. Women want men soft. Now I know women say, I want that rugged man. You want a rugged man that's unshaved, got a dirty half a beard, and got a different smell that you can boss. You don't want a rugged man. You want a man that looks tough that you can. That's true. That's true. You don't want the strong. You want him to look good and talk like this. The enemy is out to destroy the masculinity of man. Now listen to me now. to be soft. If you don't believe it, look at her clothing today. Look at the clothing that the women want the men to wear. All right. Surely the man didn't decide it. A man ought not dress like a sissy. Man ought not look like a sissy. Man ought not act like a sissy. Ought not talk like a sissy. Ought not walk like a sissy. Hairstyle. Hairstyle. All right? We need to pay attention. All right? What the Bible teaches. We need to get rid of our man buns. Comb hair like a man. Let a woman put her hair up in a bun. Well, Chinese, but we're not Chinese. This is an attack on the masculinity. Huh? I can't even, I don't know the words to the dress of men. Now I understand the transgenders, what they're doing. You know, I understand. I mean, it's not right. It's all sin and wicked, but I understand that. But when you got a regular man that's trying to, there's problems. Yep. All right? It's no wonder that women raise their boys and girls by themselves. Because there's no men in the home. We're living in a day where there is no men in the home, so women are raising boys. And can I tell you that women ain't going to raise a tough boy? Now, it may be rare, it may happen, but it's going to be rare. Because they're going, oh, he scratched his leg. Oh, he's got a red place on his forehead. And the man says, need less than 7 stitches, keep getting it. 7's a magic number. 7 and above, go to the doctor. Anything less than 7, fix it yourself with super glue, black tape. Rub a little dirt in it, wrap it up, and go. Huh? I mean, I could go a long ways here. I know what time it is. I know I could go a long ways here. I don't even know that boys ought to go to school till they're like 14 or 15. I think you need 2 or 3 years of school, learn to read and write, and do their numbers. Huh? I think you need to go out and play in the dirt and play with frogs and fall out of trees and break your arm so they can compare to other boys that they broke their arm and break their legs and be men. Are we okay? I'm just trying to tell you that, and you'll say, well, I don't believe that happens. Look in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 51. We okay? Look at verse 30. It says, the mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. Men, quit fighting. Quit being men. They have remained in their idols. Their might have failed. Look at the next phrase. They became as women. They have burned her dwellings. Her bars are broken. That's where we're at today. When men become women. Become like women. Huh? That's the trouble. We've let the devil slip in and speak to our wives, and the wives didn't catch that it wasn't the Lord God that said. It just said God said. Are we hearing what I'm saying? It wasn't the Lord God. And we need to be men. That's the problem of man. Okay? But let's find something else and we're going to quit. Genesis chapter 3. The reason I know that the responsibility comes to man and woman sins. Everybody look at me. Everybody understand it? Man and woman sin?
Amen.
Does everybody believe that? Everybody understand it? Man fail? Woman fail? They disobeyed God, and the Bible says by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. Not one woman. It says by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. Throw it up on the board. Romans 5:12. For but one man sinned into her. The Bible says and teaches that the man was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. The man fell, but the woman was deceived. Okay? But there was a role reversal, and a man got twisted around. All right? And now here's where man's at. Look where the responsibility is. Look in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard, they're together now, man and woman together, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves, both hid themselves, from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. They both sinned, they both hid. Everybody understand that? But look what it says in verse 9. And the Lord God called unto who? He didn't say, Eve, where you at?
Yeah, that's good. Right.
He wanted to know where the man was.
Yeah.
You know why? Because the man had got out of sorts. The foundation gets wrong, guys, when we're not where we're supposed to be. The responsibility comes back to the man. It's not about that woman thou givest me, as Adam said. Huh? Said Eve, what's called? Well, is that serpent done it? Adam, what about you? Well, is that woman you give me? Yeah? It wasn't woe man that time. It was the woman you give me. Huh? So we're going to quit right there and ask you this morning. Where are you? We've given you simple things. We're not trying to get deep in the Bible. We're just trying to get back to the foundation. And we've got to go back to Genesis. And we see the purpose of man, the priority of man, the problem with man. Let me ask you, what's your problem this morning? Where are you at in your home? Guys, look at me this morning. Where are you at in your home? Are you leading in prayer? Are you leading in Bible study? Are you leading your family spiritually? Are you leading them to the church house? Are you leading them? Are you the one getting up and saying, all right, let's go to church? Are you the one that's getting up and saying, all right, let's get ready? It's time to read our Bibles. It's time to pray. Are you the one doing that? If you say no, then you are out of order. Anything less than that, you're going to be patching drywall. But I would say in 90% of homes, I've not took a census. All right? But I would say in 90% of home, if there's any Bible reading done with the kids, the wife doesn't. If there's any praying with the kids, the majority is going to be by the wife. If there's anybody getting up first to get everybody up for church, it'll probably be the mom, the wife. If there's anybody that lays out, it'll probably be the husband, not the wife. If there's anybody first to serve, it'll probably be the wife, not the husband. Are they wrong? I'm not going to say anybody read your Bible is wrong. I'm not going to say anybody that praise is wrong. I'm not going to say anybody goes to church is wrong. I'm not going to say anybody gathered up somebody tame church is wrong. No, I'm going to tell you, it's out of order if the husband ain't the lead. Where are you? He says, where art thou, Adam? Why? Because the responsibility is to the husband. Where art thou? The heart of the home is going to have to start with the man of the home. And you say, well, I don't believe all that. Well, that's why you're patching drywall. That's why our churches are patching drywall. And that's why our cities and that's why our country. And you say, yeah, but that's old stuff. Yeah, it is. It's old as this Bible is. Old as God is. He's from everlasting. Way back there. He's from way back there in everlasting. And His truth still stands.
Yes, amen.
Now, this is as true as John 3:16.
Yes.
This is as true as Jesus dying on the cross. It's the same truth. We'll accept Christ dying on the cross, but we won't accept our position in the home or society. I might just go ahead and tell you, you can't take part of it. I'll just go ahead and tell you, you can't take a little bit of it and pick and choose. Well, I like it. Well, I don't like that part. Yeah, I don't like that part. Well, okay, I don't like that part. Well, let's just rip that part out there. Hmm? Well, how about this verse? Well, let's rip this verse. I don't like that verse either. There's a part of a verse. I'll rip that out.
Yeah, that's
it. What about this over here? It's all or nothing. That's why we got a problem. We're not all or nothing. If the men would be all they're supposed to be, the women would say, glory to God. Huh? Father, I've just tried to give as you give. And us men, not those men, but us men, we need to be the leaders that you said for us to be. We need to be the head of the home like you said to be. We need to be the spiritual leaders. We need to be guiding our wife and our children. We need to be setting the example. We need to set them up in a high place. And God, we failed. We don't have to wonder, Lord. We just need to answer the question of where we're at. Because we're not where we're supposed to be. Help us this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.